Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 through 16, exhibiting the true Holy Spirit in the believer. When John wrote 1 John, he implied in 1 John 1:3 that a number of his readers did not enjoy a spiritual fellowship with the apostles, with God the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This lack of true fellowship occurs with many believers today, as Christ predicted in Revelation 3:14-22 for our era. So we view 1 John 4:13-17 on exhibiting the true Holy Spirit in the believer. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 John 4:13-16. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. At the beginning of his epistle, the Apostle John wrote that he, along with Christ's other apostles, experientially heard, saw with their eyes, and handled the word of life, the God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 John 1:1-3. The reason John mentioned handled, I haven't mentioned this before, is because there was a cult that was formed very early in the church that said Jesus didn't actually come in a body, he came in a spirit. And it's a Gnostic cult, and they felt that the body is essentially evil. So you can't have God coming in a physical body. John says, no, we felt him. We grabbed him. He was there. It was a body. It was not just a spirit. So that's why he put help. See, John is writing. He's got this cult in mind. And he's writing in a polemic as an attack on the occult. And that's why he's using Hamlet. That's why Hamlet is so very, very important. Well, though no man has seen God at any time, Christ, the Son of God, made him known in his ministry. In fact, in John's Gospel, it's very interesting how the Apostle John writes this. John chapter 1, verse 18. I think it's the only passage in all of Scripture where the word exposited means. But anyway, verse 18, no man of 1 John, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten, or the only unique Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The word declared actually is he has exegeted him. He's exegeting, just like you bring something out of the word. He's fully revealed him. That's just amazing. Now, we believers who are now long removed from earthly life of the Lord Jesus might presume that we have less evidence than the initial apostles had of the reality of Christ's deity and incarnation. And John is aware of this. He's writing to a lot of people who've never seen Jesus Christ, they never heard him, and they're probably thinking, you know, you're an apostle, you're so fortunate, you actually saw, you felt, and heard the Lord Jesus. So John is trying to write to correct a misconception that they might have, that they cannot visibly view the Lord Jesus and have evidence that he exists and so forth, his deity, his incarnation. But in John, in 1 John chapter 4, 13 to 16, the passage that we have in front of us tonight clarified that this is not necessarily so. There is a way for us today to behold the reality of the deity of the Lord Jesus and his incarnation. I mean, incarnation is the word for God coming in the flesh, through means of the exhibition of the true Holy Spirit of God in believers as follows. Now, I want to clarify, this is important. When Jesus came to earth and he ministered in his earthly ministry, he ministered not by means of his deity. He ministered by means of the deity of the Holy Spirit. We know this in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, where the Holy Spirit came upon the Son of God. And through means of the Holy Spirit, he was going to be doing all the miracles, whatnot. We know the Holy Spirit came upon the Lord Jesus, equipping him for his ministry at his baptism. Now, Jesus was fully God, but the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he relied on the Holy Spirit for his ministry. This is extremely important because you and I are not God. But if we're going to live a godly life, we need to live have it lived in the power of God. So Jesus sets the precedent for us, and since we're in Christ and he utilized the Holy Spirit, we utilize the Holy Spirit, and that's how we live lives that are righteous. It's supernatural life that's lived by means of the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can, if Jesus Christ revealed himself by means of the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is in a believer, you can see evidence of God in the believer. Not that the believer is God, but God indwells him. And God lives himself out and exhibits himself in the believer's life. So we believers in Christ experientially know, that gnoskomen, it's the first person plural, and gnosko is a present tense of gnosko, which actually means to experientially know. We believers in Christ experientially know that we remain, and there's menomen, it's the present tense of meno. Meno, once again, is a word for fellowship in John's writings, or spiritually fellowship with God, and he with us, because this awareness comes out of, the preposition is ek, which means it comes out of, or it's exhibited, it starts in the Holy Spirit and comes out of the Holy Spirit to us, whom he has permanently given to us. Dedoken is the perfect tense of didomi. Didomi is to give. Now, guess what? The Holy Spirit produces this awareness as the believer relies upon him in his walk. Now, I want to point out, the perfect tense of dedoken counters the charismatic view that Christians can lose the Holy Spirit like Old Testament saints, like David, could lose him by means of sin. Remember in Psalm 51:11, David, he's performing this psalm because he's sinned by means of adultery with Bathsheba. And he begs God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, the Spirit could come and he could go. In the New Testament, that's not so. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will be with you forever. So the Holy Spirit that is indwelling you and me now as believers stays with us forever. When we die, the Holy Spirit goes with us as we make the transition from this life to the life to come. In the rapture, the Holy Spirit goes with us. 10 trillion years from now, you'll still be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There will not be a time from now on when you will not be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing. For the Holy Spirit abides with Christians forever. It's another implication of our unconditional salvation security in Christ. Notice he didn't use the aorist tense where he gave it. He used the perfect. He gave with the result, the effects of that continue on now into the present, and they go on into infinity in the future. So he's once for all given us the Holy Spirit. He's never taken it back. If the Lord's given us the Holy Spirit, and only those who have the Holy Spirit are saved, then you're going to be saved forever. There's another one of those implications of the eternal security. It comes out in the Greek. We don't get it in the English, but it's wonderful. Someday I'd like to go through this epistle and count the number of times John is implying eternal security by the words that he uses. But anyway, we know from the Holy Spirit that have that fellowship with the Lord. Also, we believers in Christ have come to gaze upon for our benefit, tetha eametha. It's the perfect middle voice of theoutmai. The middle voice is something we don't have in English. They have it only in Greek, as far as I know. The active voice is the subject acts upon something. The passive voice is that the subject is acted upon by something else. The middle voice is the voice where the subject is acting, but he's acting for himself. And that's what the middle voice is here. So we have come to gaze upon Christ for our benefit. And are witnessing that the Father permanently sent, that's the perfect tense of apostello, the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now what John is claiming here is that through the believer's reliance on the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the unseen God working in him, as well as in the body of believers who rely on the Holy Spirit, gives the same transformational evidence of the unseen God that John saw in Jesus in his early life. In other words, John is saying, listen, as an apostle who saw Jesus Christ, who saw him function by means of the Holy Spirit, when I observe you Christians, and I see the Holy Spirit living in you, I see the same behavior patterns, the thought patterns that I saw in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was functioning by the Holy Spirit, you're functioning by the Holy Spirit. So don't think that somehow we're more fortunate than you are because we actually saw Jesus in the body. I'm seeing you folks, John is writing, in the body, and I see the Holy Spirit indwelling you, the same Holy Spirit that I saw in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is doing things in you that I saw doing Jesus. So there's nothing new. I think there was a little girl one time who was witnessed to by, I think, a Sunday school teacher, and about Jesus, and this lady was talking about how Jesus, what Jesus was like and everything. The girl says, well, I've met him before. And the lady says, what do you mean, where you've met him? She yelled at me, take you to him. So she took him around the corner to her pastor. There he was. Hey, yeah, he's the one that you're describing. And that should be the ideal thing. The Holy Spirit in that pastor was the Holy Spirit that she heard about in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him. In fact, that's why when we get to heaven, we're going to be very familiar with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've witnessed his presence. We've witnessed his attitude, his actions, his expressions of gifting in the lives of so many believers. It's going to be wonderful. Christ relied on the Holy Spirit's power to perform his ministry, Isaiah 11, 1-2, and Matthew 12, 28, 31-32. So as Christians today rely on the same Spirit, we will see the powerful testimony of the reality of Christ and God's claims about the Lord Jesus. John added that he who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, what means claiming Jesus is equal with the Father and thereby calling Jesus himself God, God remains, that meno, the word meno again, fellowships with him. God remains or fellowships with him, and he fellowships with the Lord. So, we have also come to know experientially, agnokamen, that's a perfect tense of gnosko, and we have come to believe, pepistukamen, or you can actually translate it, we have come to rely upon, in the perfect tense, the love which God has in us. For God is love, and he who remains, meno again, or fellowships in the love of God, fellowships with God and with him. In other words, the loving God that John witnessed in the person and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry is evident in the body of the church now when believers rely on the Holy Spirit to exhibit God's love. You see the value of meeting together with the body of Christ. We've got different gifts. We have different ministries, each one of us. And everybody has something to contribute towards the welfare of the rest of the body. I was talking to a lady today after the following service, and I said, you know, as a pastor, I may be doing the speaking, but I need church. I need to mingle and fellowship with the people of God's church because the gifts that are in the body are gifts that I need to have ministry unto, as well as my ministry to other people. We need this. And when we see the evidence of God working in the lives of other people and in the gifts of other people, just by way of talking with one another, fellowshipping with one another, talking about things of the Lord, there's a building up that occurs. And that is tremendous evidence of the presence of God in the believers. So though only eyewitnesses, like Christ's original apostles, have visibly seen and heard Jesus function in the Holy Spirit's power and thereby testify to the validity of his claims of deity and incarnation. Since we believers in Jesus today are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit, and when we rely on that Spirit to fellowship with God, we actually witness today the same unseen God in the life of the body as truly as the apostles saw Jesus exhibited in the Lord Jesus, saw him exhibited in Christ. So, may we believers, by application, may we believers rely on the Holy Spirit, who has permanently been given unto us, to become as valid a living testimony of Christ's claims to deity and the incarnation as Christ was of those claims in his earthly life. And then may we treat the obviously godly lives of believers today as evidence of the validity of the Christian faith. It's amazing. You can go into another state. Let's say you go on vacation. Pennsylvania, Maine, you name it. New Jersey, North Carolina. Wherever you go. And you go into a church that you've never been into before. It might be a Bible church, Baptist church, some church. But they know the Lord, they love the Lord there. And it's like you know these people. You know, you don't really know them humanly, but there's a fellowship there. There is a camaraderie that is very deep. I've seen this many times. We have visitors who come into their church, never been in our church before. And within 30 seconds, you feel like you've known them all your life. There's a fellowship. It's something of the Spirit of God. And we need to see that and illustrate it. Today I was talking with a believer following the service, and this believer said, "Pastor, I'm really grateful that the church board decided not to close the church down." He said, "Now I'm working at home because I work through computers." You know, a lot of people are doing that. But he says, "The only time I get out is going to the grocery store or coming to church." He said, "So if they close the church down, I'd be limited to the grocery store, and that's kind of slim pickings. I really like coming to church." So I said, "Well, this is neat. It's neat how God moved the board, within reason." We closed it down for a little bit because we didn't know what this pandemic was or how serious it was, but then went ahead and opened it up because the people of God really needed it. It's really true. Then also, you notice I've put a little sign there on the button. Please don't turn the thing off. We lost last Sunday morning's messages because if you just turn off the button without turning off the recorder first, everything's erased that we recorded. So we didn't have it recorded. Now, at first, it may sound like a tragedy, but actually, I was slightly relieved. Because last Sunday, in the sermon, I think it was last Sunday, or maybe the Sunday before that, it was the last Sunday. What happened is I had made a statement in the sermon, and my wife picked up the statement, too, that I thought, ooh, if someone is listening to this and they belong to the State Department or something, it might cause us to lose our tax-exempt status as a church, because you're not supposed to make a comment about who you voted for, who you don't vote for. And I made that comment. Well, the comment was a great blessing to a number of people, but I thought, but thankfully, God in His grace allowed someone to come along here and just turn it off, and so He erased it. So I thought, well, you know, there are blessings and mistakes. So, but from now I'm going to watch my words, you know, when it comes to voting and not voting. I don't know how that slipped out, but it did. And as soon as it did, I thought, ooh, I wish I could take that back. But I couldn't. But thankfully, it's not in the notes. So, you know, we're scot-free on that. But it made me thankful that God is so sovereign over this body. I don't know, and I don't want to know. And if someone here is the one to turn it off, don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty, you know. Cool it. But, you know, in the future, yeah, please, no, erase it. But the Lord in His mercy and in His oversight allowed that button to get switched off and erased it so that we don't have that problem. And I'm very grateful to see the Lord's work in our body. So we need to continue to rely upon the Holy Spirit that we might enjoy evidence of the presence of the true God as He's exhibited in the lives of the believers of the church.